The state ferry Matanuska collided with a seafood processing dock in Petersburg early yesterday afternoon. There were no reported injuries, but there was substantial damage to the Ocean Beauty Seafood Facility. There was also some dents in the bow of the ferry above the waterline, though she tied up safely at the terminal shortly after the incident and later continued on her way. State and federal transportation officials are investigating what happened. The Matanuska was carrying 60 passengers at the time. One of them was Petersburg resident John Bringhurst, who was surprised there wasn't more of a jolt when the 408-foot ship hit the seafood plant.
Well, we were up front and just kind of waiting to pull into the dock, and my wife called my attention to the fact that it looked like we were headed for the wrong dock. As I looked out the front of the ferry, I could see that we were headed right for Ocean Beauty, and there seemed to be no deterrent from that course. And as we came in a little closer, you could hear the reverse thrusters coming on, and I just told everybody to sit down that we might have an abrupt halt there, and sure enough, we rammed into the back of the Ocean Beauty dock there. Wasn't all that big of an impact, though. We just kind of bounced off and went on our way, so it wasn't that difficult for the passengers on board.
No one was out on the Ocean Beauty dock itself when the accident occurred. The impact smashed in a significant portion of the wood and concrete dock, as well as the waterfront face of the building itself, which includes apartments upstairs. One of the company's large cranes fell most of the way through the damaged dock. Broken piling swayed in the tide. The Matanuska had been heading southbound for Petersburg's downtown ferry terminal when the accident occurred. She was heard blasting her horn multiple times before the accident. Jim Spignesi watched it from a different seafood processor dock.
Shortly after, a couple minutes after 1 o'clock, we were watching the Matanuska come in, and it started kind of wildly turning to the port side. And I thought it was going to start going down towards the transient dock.
Instead of hitting Petersburg's North Harbor floats, he said she hit Ocean Beauty. Department of Transportation spokesperson Jeremy Woodrow said the Marine Highway notified the Coast Guard right away. According to Woodrow, it's too early to say what really caused the accident.
It would just be speculation until we do a real complete investigation, interview all the parties that are involved, and make sure that, you know, we have all of our bases covered before we actually, you know, point a finger at what may have been the cause, whether it was a person or it was, you know, mechanical malfunction.
After examining damage to the bow, Woodrow said the Coast Guard cleared the Matanuska to continue on her voyage yesterday afternoon. She was scheduled to head south to Wrangell and then on to Petersburg. A distracted driver here in Juneau was the alleged cause behind a single-vehicle rollover crash that closed two lanes of Egan Drive yesterday afternoon. It happened at 8 Mile just after 3 o'clock when the 42-year-old driver took his eyes off the road while heading inbound. According to police, he drove off the shoulder and crashed into a light pole, overcorrected, and steered across both inbound lanes and the vehicle rolling over onto its side in the median. The driver was cited for negligent driving, but he was not identified by police. The unidentified vehicle was also totaled. He was taken to Bartlett Regional Hospital for evaluation and possible treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. An outbound lane and inbound lane were each closed for about a half hour for the investigation yesterday afternoon. How the driver was distracted was not specified by police. Angoon Senator Albert Kukesh focused on rural water and sewer issues this session. That and school meal programs and transportation issues are of interest to his district. That's because it includes more than 100 villages and small cities from southern southeast to Prince William Sound and into the interior. Ed Schoenfeld has more on the story.
Kukesh chairs the Senate Transportation Committee. One of its big issues this year was part of the state's plan for Southeast. One draft proposal focused mostly on roads, with short-run ferries connecting pavement in mainland and island communities.
Oh, man, there had people up in arms even though it was only a draft plan. Something like that wasn't acceptable to most of the people in the district, including myself. Because I looked at that and I said to myself, well, that means walk-on people can't afford to ride the ferry anymore because you have to have a car to get in between the land links.
State officials said it was only one of many options and likely wouldn't go anywhere. So far, it hasn't. One of Kukesh's main priorities this session was a measure creating a water and sewer task force. He wanted to focus attention and money on the approximately 6,000 homes in rural Alaska without sewer or water hookups. The task force legislation didn't make it through, but he says some of the money did.
We may not take a big bite out of the whole thing, but I think with the money we have in there now this year for new systems into the villages that don't have water at all, we probably could retire maybe 25% of them next year if we can get all of the funding put into place. We have most of it already now.
The Angoon Democrat is also pleased with the many projects in his Senate district that made it into the capital budget. That includes rescue boats, health clinics, harbor improvements, and building repairs. There's also money for operations and debt retirement for the Inter-Island Ferry Authority, which links Prince of Wales Island to Ketchikan. But he doesn't want to be overconfident.
I'm not going to count anything or jump up and down until after the governor's veto process is over. I think everybody has to be aware of that, that the governor still has the opportunity to say no to some of those projects. And he said he would to those that he felt were unnecessary, even though we did stay under the spending cap that he wanted us to stay under.
Kukesh also hoped to push through increased funding for school meal programs. He says that would have helped low-income students be ready for the classroom.
Even though I was concerned about it, Willikowski and French were concerned about it, others were concerned about it, it just never got to the point of getting to the level where enough people were concerned about it so that we can push it through.
One of the year's biggest legislative battles was over oil taxes. Governor Sean Parnell called for lawmakers to lower them to spur exploration and development. Kukesh and the rest of the Senate's bipartisan working group agreed to incentives for new fields, but they said no to the rest.
And we thought there were so many people out in Alaska that did not like the governor's position on tax breaks. Many called it a $2 billion giveaway. I don't know whether it would have been eventually that number or not, but it would have been close. So I guess I was comfortable in not supporting the governor's position in this, but also being supportive and liking the idea that we were going to give tax breaks to somebody who discovered new fields.
This could be the Angoon Democrats' final term in office. New legislative district boundaries put him in a difficult race against Sitka Republican Bert Stedman. Kukesh says he plans to run hard to keep a Southeast Native rural perspective in the legislature, but the courts have twice struck down the official plan, leaving him wondering which race he's in.
Do I know I can start fundraising now and I can start campaigning, but I don't know where to start campaigning. And that's true of most people in Alaska. Where's our district? What's my lines look like?
If elected, Kukesh says he'll push for a seat on the Budget Writing Finance Committee, and he hopes another bipartisan majority forms in the Senate. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting.
And you can hear a report on Kukesh's perspective from the start of this year's legislative session. Go to our website at ktoonews.org and look for the link for the story. We also have reports on other Southeast lawmakers and their end of session views. A Fairbanks man who helped protect natural resources in Afghanistan is heading up a similar program for polar regions. Longtime University of Alaska Fairbanks faculty member Harry Bader recently completed 3 years in Afghanistan, serving as co-leader of a counterinsurgency cell for the U.S. Agency for International Development. He won a Heroism Award for his work preventing enemy exploitation of natural resources. Now he's back at UAF, heading up a new polar security center. Bader says the Defense on Homeland Security-funded program is scientific research-focused.
Sea ice and sea ice dynamics and unmanned aerial vehicles and over-the-horizon radars. But also it'll have a policy component as well as, I hope, a tactical component where we can partner with the Coast Guard and the military and our state and local emergency management services and industry partners to try to find ways to protect the Arctic.
Bader says the Polar Security Center will also have an instructional role. He says the center is tying in with emergency management and security degree programs offered through the School of Management.